All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. May 9th, 2024. Beautiful, 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 three beautifuls day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. We're in it. This is summer. Welcome, even though my wife did tell me it's going to cool down again. And I was like, really, to what? She's like, I don't know, like 65. I'm like, that's still beautiful, right? That's a beautiful day. But it's warm this morning. Got up, walked, and then I've been power washing the house, right? It is funny, man. I haven't, you know, this usually happens about this time of year, and I've mentioned it several times, but there is this seasonal shift, man. And winter is depressing, or it's just gloomy, or whatever it is, but it's not bright and sunny, right? And when that seasonal change happens, man, it just lifts my spirits. I'm sure it lifts everybody's spirits, but and I just feel excellent. I feel great today. Can take on the day so well. I pulled the power washer out. Like everyone, I'm sure we have a shitload of pollen everywhere and not a lot of rain. And so, you know, everything's yellow. I've done it before. I've done it already this spring. And but I pulled the power washer out and power washed the front of the house and got it all cleaned off. Looks nice and fresh. And, you know, that's awesome. I go to work at 11, first client. Text her, making sure she's aware of my new location. That's the one thing I'm having to do. You know, before I left my old salon, it was always, you know, I'm leaving. This is where I'm going. This is when I'm leaving. This is when I'll be there. And it seems like every person that's come to the salon is like, are you at the new place? Where's it at? How do I get there? And so as much as I felt like I planned as far as informing people of my move, I'm still having to inform. And this morning, so what I'm doing now is I'm just, everybody that's coming in, I just text them the location. I'm like, I don't know if you know where I'm at, but this is where it's at. Because people, you know, unfortunately, people get confused and then they don't show up and then I get pissed. And so I'm trying to prevent aggravation, right? And I shouldn't say pissed. I guess the insecurities and shit come creeping back in. When someone doesn't show up immediately, I'm like, you know, I'm not good enough, right? But it's usually that they just didn't know that I had left. And it's happened a couple times. It's happening a lot less. And I can tell you the first few weeks of this new change in my life, the anxiety level is starting to come down, right? People are starting to settle in. I'm starting to settle in. So it's great. I'm really, really happy. Not that I wasn't happy before, but I'm just really happy. So, but yeah, I just, you know, I just did a podcast yesterday. I had such a great day yesterday. I talked about paddling. We went out in the water. It was late. We went out at 2. It was hot. It was like 89 degrees. It was windy. And we pushed through it. And it was great. It was just the five of us. My seat one was struggling. He's going through some shit. I've sort of talked about that. It's tough, man, going through tough times, right? And it's great to have people around you. But, you know, he's been overdoing it a bit. And so he was pretty whooped. And so we really supported him yesterday. And then afterwards, you know, our group chat, everyone's like, you know, seat one, you're the man. You're the leader, bro. You keep us going. And just a bunch of guys rallying around a friend. And, you know, I just really appreciate that. And I appreciate him, and I hope he starts feeling better. It is a, you know, when you start to have a loss or a relationship ending, it is tough. And there's so many words you can say, but unfortunately, just like recovery, man, you just got to go through it one day at a time.
Afraid to try, these are the days to accept all.
Pearl Jam, new Pearl Jam, Dark Matters, Something Special. I am such a fucking fan of this album. And I am I'm a huge fan of this album and a huge fan of this band, obviously. One of the cool things, obviously, about life today is that all of these cool things that happen, like this band being on tour, which they just started in Vancouver, night two, you know, is all on YouTube, and we get to see it all. And watched Eddie Vedder last night. I don't know when I guess it was a couple nights ago when they played the second show, but I guess his daughter was in the show, in the audience, and, you know, he sung this to her. Okay. Anyway, it was pretty awesome. All right. Let's try to work through that. That was weird. Anyway, just a great album. Great band. All right. Figure that out. Anyway, so... yeah, I went to a meeting last night, and great meeting, Wednesday night meeting I usually go to, and it was, you know, my buddy Tom spoke, and he did such a great job, celebrating 7 years, congratulations to him, and, he talked about this, you know, the way that meeting works, people usually come in and, you know, share their experience, strength, and hope, right? And then open it up for a topic. And the topic was, you know, a spiritual awakening or a higher power or something like that. And, I mean, people know, man, I do love talking about a higher power, right? A spiritual awakening, this amazing thing that I know when I came into the program, I heard it and I'm like, I don't know what they're talking about, but I'm fascinated. I am interested. And sometimes that ruins it, right? That sometimes ruins it. Someone, I've said this, right? How do you find a spiritual awakening? How do you make a spiritual awakening happen? I said, you got to stop searching, right? You have to stop looking. And the problem is that I'm having the spiritual awakening, and it's weird. And it isn't what I thought it was going to be. And that's what I shared last night. I said, you know, the first thing I had to do really was sort of throw away any sort of idea that I thought a spiritual awakening was, or a relationship with a higher power. I had built all of my information on watching other people. And sometimes when you watch other people having these spiritual moments, right, they're very dramatic, or they can be very, I don't know, different. And, you know, I gather all of these little incidences. I remember, you know, the first time when I went to church when I was living in Albuquerque, and people started speaking in tongues. And I was like, what? What is that? I'm still a little stumped on that one. You know, maybe just the fear or the lack of fear of just rambling on some sort of language that apparently is God, I guess. I don't know. I haven't quite had enough awakening yet to start doing that. I'm not sure that that's something I'm looking to do, right? But I just remember these little moments where I'm like, wow, is that a relationship with God? Or, you know, I remember getting the Bible and wanting the words of the part that was written in red, you know, that Jesus or God said. I was just so fascinated how a person or a thing, an entity, could live right in the clouds, heaven, and help us. And so, you know, that was one of the things. And I didn't even do it. It's not like I walked into recovery the first day and said, I'm giving up all thought or hope of what I thought was a relationship with Jesus, and I'm going to open my mind up to a whole new experience. I didn't do that. I tried to find it through what I thought it was, and I couldn't find a damn thing. And so I gave up, and I gave up. I don't know if that's why I drank. I don't even know. I know that I've never had God talk to me, but I've had the devil talk to me. And I said this last night. I said, you know, if we're going to talk about God and we're going to talk about a higher power, we have to talk about the devil, right? We have to talk about the lower power because it is real. And the voice of that has talked to me. And it said, you are doing fantastic. And, you know, early recovery, and you hear that in your head, and you're like, wow, thank you, God, right? I thought that was God. until the voice suggested that I try drinking again. And at that point, I was sort of on board, and I sort of thought that was sort of the green light. It's hard for me to really understand what I was thinking. I know that I'd fallen away from the steps, I mean, the program, right? I wasn't going to meetings. All of these little roadblocks started popping up, excuse me, when I came over to Easton. And I wasn't prepared for that, right? I was not prepared for that. And so every roadblock I just turned, right? I'm like, oh, can't do this. Don't like the way this meeting's going. Don't like this. Don't like that. And I just kept turning. And finally, I turned 180 degrees away from recovery, right? I was out there on my own, justified, of course, too smart for my own good. And I was alone, right? I was physically alone and I was spiritually alone. And the devil came in and he was like, look how good you've done. And next thing you know, I was drinking. And so that was absolutely real, right? It didn't even take much. It just took removing all of my protection. And so, you know, coming back into the program, I had to just throw it all away. Anything I sort of thought was a relationship with a higher power, I had to throw away. I had to start fresh and really just put it on the back burner and just really work these steps. And that's what I shared last night. If we work these steps honestly, right? Honestly is the hard part. It has nothing to do with God. Even though honest, right? You have two choices. And that's what I said last night. We always have a choice. Everything we do in our lives has a choice, right? We do not have to come in. We do not have to get sober, right? My buddy was talking about going to this meeting and all the lights were out. And he pulled up and he pulled on the door and it was locked. And he was like, oh man, he really needed a meeting. And then another friend of ours, my actual grand sponsor, actually ended up pulling up and the two of them connected. And my grand sponsor asked him, hey, do you want to go get a cup of coffee? And I said, you had the choice, right? You didn't have to. And luckily he said yes. And they, you know, went to Dunkin' Donuts and had a coffee. And then he would become his sponsor and that would become a relationship. And, you know, 7 years later, here we are. But he had a choice. And it's like the third step, right? We turn our will and our lives over to the care of a God of our understanding, right? Early on, the book even knows it's hard to even understand what God is. So whatever you want to call it or whatever I want to call it, right? It's not a lot of expectations early on. But the important part is to turn our will, our thinking, and our lives, our action over to the care of a God of our understanding, which means humble, making the right choices, right? And so he had a choice. He could have said, no, no coffee tonight. And who knows where he might have been today, right? But that night he said, yes, I'll have coffee. That was a humble move. So I do believe. And so when I started to understand this, you know, when I can make a choice, especially when in the third step, turning my will and my lives over to the care of a higher power or God of my understanding means, you know, the decisions I'm making are humble, right? I'm making the right ones because the opposite aren't usually good, right? And so I personally, that's what I do, is I classify it as like a devil move, right? You're either making a God move or I'm making a devil move. And for a big portion of my life, I made tons and tons of devil moves, right? I had the fork in the road. I just chose what self wanted, self-serving. In the end, that's what it boils down to. I'm a self-centered person with lack of humility, which means that I'm all devil and no God. And it is a spiritual malady. It's a spiritual malady. It's a spiritual imbalance. And the imbalance was I just had too much devil. And so, you know, when I started to understand that and I started to realize, you know, when I start to make good choices, you know, when my buddy made the choice to go have coffee, you know, that was the beginning of a relationship with a higher power, right? But we have this idea, or I had this idea of what it was supposed to be, and none of that classified as anything spiritual. I just was like, yeah, that's just a decision. But it is a humble move, right? Because you can say no. Are you kidding me? I'm not having coffee with you. I've never met you. You're weird. These are all fear, right? Fear. I don't know this guy. What's he up to? Yada, yada, yada. And fear, self, will push us out of so many great opportunities. But he didn't listen to that voice, right? He made the humble move. He said yes. And you know, that I've experienced that so many times. And so today I start realizing that I don't know what God is, right? But I know what a life of I know what life is like having worked these steps. And I don't mean to just go through them, but to really try to be in a position of humility, right? To try to really take a look. You know, I told my buddy, if I'm going to draw that line in the sand and I'm going to start my life over, I want to have the clean, best version of me possible. And I don't mean the one that looks clean to you. I mean the one that is clean to me, right? And what makes it feel clean? No fear, right? If I'm afraid, I have got to work on something, right? I have to address it. Why am I afraid? What am I going to lose? What's the inconvenience? What have I not worked on, right? And so I think for me at least, God has become just this safe spot, right? A safe place. And everything else is the devil. And, you know, character defects, our shortcomings, you know, we work our moral inventory. We go through that whole list, that honest list, right? And then we do the fifth step and we honestly go through it and tell another human. If you're afraid to do it, that's the devil, right? That's our lower power keeping us from finding that peaceful place. And I shared this last night, and this always, I think, makes people freak out a little bit, but I'm like, you know, when you get to this place, or when I've gotten to this place where I've worked these steps and I'm starting to have this spiritual awakening and I'm starting to have this new relationship with a higher power, it all of a sudden isn't as important, right? It's not important. I know where I'm at, right? I don't have to find it because I'm not, fear isn't motivating. Self isn't motivating it, right? If self is motivating the relationship with a higher power, it's not going to work out. It's hard to explain. It is hard to explain, and it just takes time, and that's the worst part. I wish, you know, people could say, hey, this is what you got to do. Ding! You're having a spiritual awakening, right? You just can't have that. You have to grind through it, and you have to have the voices, and you have to live in the darkness, and you have to walk out into the sunshine and realize, wow, I could have made a different choice there, and I could have changed this whole outcome. And it's just really cool because this relationship with God that I have today, right, is easy, sort of, right? I decide, right? You know, I talked about the rough couple weeks I've had, and I haven't really been having a relationship with a higher power. I've really been suffering with self, but I had to get some stuff done, right? I don't want to start thinking that every time self shows up that I am, you know, dancing with the devil, right? I have to be aware of what's going on. I'm picking and choosing my happiness, right? But until the work is finished, right, I'm not going to feel settled. And so, you know, I've had kind of an odd couple of weeks, but I'm starting to feel a little bit more peaceful, right? I'm not afraid this week, right? I'm not scared. You know, last week I was like, anything, you know, if I'll drive to your house and lead you to the salon, please just don't, just not show up because then I'm going to feel like I'm not good enough. Well, now after a few weeks, I'm feeling like, listen, if you can't find it, that's your problem, right? I'm shifting over to this other arrogant side of me that is not good either. I have to. It's like the wind, man. One minute it's blown out of the west. Next minute it's blown out of the north. I don't know which way I'm going, but I just have to keep taking my personal inventory, continue to take my personal inventory, right? And when I'm wrong, promptly admit it. And that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to do that and still stay in this place. But, you know, it is a, you know, and I was thinking about the sixth step. Because I'm always wondering, now my biggest fascination is how does God speak through us, right? How does God speak through us? So on the sixth step, and I think we're still going to be on the first step this week, I think. But it says, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And I've listened to my old podcast and I've talked about this, how I'm great with removing my character defects, but when I have to have God do it, and I remember early on in the program, I'm like, how's God going to do this? But what I'm starting to understand is I like being free of fear, right? I like it, right? And so when a character defect comes in, and I've said this, right? The only thing that keeps me from holding the hand of God are my character defects, right? My shortcomings. And so if something keeps kicking me out of this relationship, I need to address it, right? So I'm not sure that it's God or if it's just this good life, this byproduct of good living that I'm really cherishing, right? And not this man figure that lives in the clouds, right? I think it's really a peace of mind, right? This state, this humble place that comes and goes, right? But when I'm in it, you know, and something's coming in it to take it away, I have to change that, right? Sarcasm is always a great example, because sarcasm is something that I think a lot of us do, and it has an immediate negative feeling for me, you know, when I'm sarcastic, trying to be funny at somebody else's expense. As soon as I do it, I feel bad about it. Fear comes in, and I leave that happy place, right? Now I'm thinking about what I've done. Now I'm thinking about what I've got to clean up. Now I need to make an amends, right? And so until all of these things that I've talked about just now are done, I cannot get back to this place. So what do I do? What would I rather do? Right? Let's just try to get rid of sarcasm, right? Let's try not to be sarcastic. And so maybe that is God's way of helping me, right? It's not that I'm doing it. We're entirely ready to have God, right? I'm entirely ready, yes, to have God remove all these defects of character. I don't know. I think it's just, I'm starting to understand. Like I said, man, I had to change everything. I had to give up my whole expectation of this relationship of God and just open my mind, right, and see what's going to come and start to, you know, I've said this, a great example that I've used in the past is, you know, and it's what I used when this first started to happen. It's like, you know, I come over to your house and I bring you a Corvette, right? Here's your Corvette. Park it in your driveway. I take the keys, I throw them in the garage, and then I fill the garage with boxes, right? And so the Corvette is the spiritual awakening. This Corvette, you know, I've said before, I think we all have spirits, right? But the thing that keeps us from enjoying our spirit is self-centered shit, right? And the boxes represent self-centered shit, right? And so you throw the keys in the garage, you fill the garage with boxes, and then you shut the door and you say, well, I can't get to the Corvette because it's hidden by all the boxes. And that's where these steps come in, right? The fourth and fifth, we start taking that inventory. We start examining each box. Why is the box here? First of all, what is this box, right? Why is it here, and how do I get rid of it? And, you know, early on, we can make a path to the keys, right? We start to get to a glimpse of it, but we're still, you know, in this canyon of self-centered shit. And the steps to help us remove all the boxes. And then once we can get through those boxes, right, we can get to the keys. We can get to experience this spiritual awakening. And but it takes work, right? The boxes prevent us from using the Corvette. And the self-centered thoughts, the self-centered behavior, all the shit that we pick apart in these steps are keeping us from having the spiritual awakening. I think we're all, my friend Libby used to say, I'm a spiritual being having a human experience that involves alcohol. And I think that's it. I think she was very smart when she used to say that. She's gone now. We miss you, Libby. But, you know, I think that's it. We're all spiritual, right? But if we fill our souls and our lives with too much devil, it's hard to see what's really going on. And I think these steps help us get the devil out of us, right? This self. And it's awesome. But the problem is that, you know, it takes a long time. And like my buddy said, I think he lost the room when I shared, but I was only sharing to him, right? I was just explaining to him this amazing experience, and it's only been going on in the last couple years, and it's just taken this. Maybe people find it early. I don't know. I personally believe I had to grind through all this and continue to grind through this and, you know, keep going to meetings and keep being there and keep sharing, because, you know, all that shit I went through with my other friend who was bad-mouthing me for sharing, right? Because he says, you know, you're nonchalant, no fear guru stuff, and I'm like, I'm not trying to be a guru. This just is what happens when you honestly try to work the steps, right? I'm not perfect, but I'm starting to see glimpses of things, right? I'm starting to find pockets of peace, right? I'm starting to have these moments free of fear, and I'm not sure what to call it, but I'm thinking I'm going to just go ahead and call it God or my relationship with my higher power. And if a person hasn't worked the steps, right, or if they're still new, they're probably like, this guy has lost his freaking marbles, and I don't care. Right, because that's how the devil comes back, right? The devil starts talking to me in my head. Dude, they all think you lost your marbles. Maybe you shouldn't speak. don't speak. And then I'm like, maybe you're right. I'm not going to speak. It's a constant freaking attack, right? It's cyber. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual battle. Because in the end, the devil wants me alone, by myself, drinking, and dead. And I don't want to do that. So I keep ignoring the devil. I keep going. And I'm going to keep sharing. And I don't care what people think, because it is what it is. And hopefully I can help somebody. All right, let me read the daily reflections. And then I'm going to go work. And have a great day. Free of fear. Yeah. Sorry I got so emotional in the beginning. I don't know what that was about. I just love that band so much. And I love to see people evolve and have relationships with their kids. And the other thing was, some of these songs, as a new album comes out, I'm still trying to get my hands around it, right? But one of my favorite things about Pearl Jam is that they are such a great live band. And you may hear a song on a record, you're like, eh. And then see it performed live, and you're like, wow, that was really good. And that's sort of what happened last night with Something Special. And I love to see people evolve, especially as we become parents and we watch our kids and the roles change and, you know, sort of that message in there, you are something special. So, I'm just super grateful today. I'm just I'm full of a lot of humility. And I'm just not afraid today, and I'm not afraid to cry, and I just love it. And the other thing is that's been going on is my boy RFK Jr. is under attack by all these people, and it really pisses me off. And this guy texted me this morning, and he's like, your buddy's a nutcase. And I'm like, you know, when a person's just trying to do the next right thing, right, and all of these people come after you and tear apart your character and the person you are, it really pisses me off. And that is life, right? And he can handle it, but it's just frustrating. And it makes me want to just move, right, and leave. And that's the devil, right? Don't get involved, man. Just ignore it. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I still want to support this guy. I love him. And he has amazing characters. So I don't know. I just got a lot of shit, I guess, mentally thinking about today. All right, this ought to be good. Walking through fear. Here we go. If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing. Yeah. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 76. When I had taken my fifth step, I became aware that all my defects of character stemmed from my need to feel secure and loved. To use my will alone to work on them would have been trying obsessively to solve the problem. In the sixth step, I intensified the action I had taken in the first three steps. Meditation on the step by saying it over and over, going to meetings, following my sponsor's suggestions, reading and searching within myself. During the first 3 years of sobriety, I had a fear of entering an elevator alone. One day I decided I must walk through this fear. I asked for God's help, entered the elevator, and there in the corner was a lady crying. She said that since her husband had died, she was deathly afraid of elevators. I forgot my fear and comforted her. This spiritual experience helped me to see how willingness was the key to working the rest of the 12 steps to recovery. God helps those who help themselves. That's right. That's right, because, a lot of voices in our head telling us not to do it, right? And so if we can push through that and, you know, really find the humility to help ourselves, to become willing, to take a hard look at ourselves, to be honest, right? You know, that's all, I think, to me, that's all humble stuff, right? That's all positive spiritual stuff. When we stop working, when we start denying the ability to do these things, stop trying to help other people, you know, that's, unfortunately, to me, the devil, you know, pushing us away. And, I like I said to my friend, everything that we do in our lives has a choice. There's a humble side and then there's a self-centered side. And one is based in fear and one is based in love, I think. And, you know, when we don't do these things, you know, when my buddy decided to accept the coffee invitation and, you know, he didn't go home that night with fear. Right, he went home that night with hope, and it was a 50-50, right? He could have said, forget it, gone home and sat and really, you know, maybe thought, I'm never going to get sober or I'm going to slip back into it. But he didn't. He made the other choice, and then he went home, and he was free of fear, and I just think that's great. So anyway, and we went a little long. Have a great day. Bye.
My job, I work for free because you're both so special.